Pick up 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 for our reading today. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, the Word of God says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as a righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority, bold and willful. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, through greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord." Father, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us to gather in your word, to worship you through the preaching of your word. Reveal yourself to us through your spirit. God, help us to understand. Grant us clarity in how this would play out in our lives and what we're going to learn today. So we do ask for your spirit. We ask for understanding. Pray that you would be glorified and that you would open our eyes to behold the wonderful things of your word. So we look forward, Father, in what you would teach us. Encourage our hearts. May we come to you and cast all our cares to you because you care for us. Lord, and even this time, for those people who are here today, who are confused, who are down, Lord, I pray that you would lift them up and that you will grant them understanding. And so, Lord, be glorified and be magnified in our time today. In the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone say, amen. Amen. May all sit down. You know, the last year, I'm sure you've heard in the news or even in the internet in regards to there's two words that's been, especially in the politics, fake news. Everything that you read, you have to be careful, especially in the social media. You may not know if that message is true. So a lot of things, especially our current president, Donald Trump, he made that really popular. Everything is fake news. So where do we go? Is there such things as fake teachers today in the church? Are there fake books, fake all these things, material things? So the question to you I want to bring up to you as we start our message is, how can you spot? How can you recognize a false teacher? And that's the question that is before us, because that's important. As God enables us to continue to walk in our faith here in this world, while we still live in this world, we have this responsibility. And so the question again, my beloved, is how can we recognize a false teacher or teachers? What marks out such people so that we can avoid their influence? That is important for us to tackle today as we are in this passage, and what Apostle Peter will encourage us in what we need to do. And so it's very important. And so let me give you several things as we start. False teachers are common. False teachers are common. We ought to expect them and be on the lookout for them. And don't be surprised. I mean, they are common in every era of church history. False teachers are. This should not surprise us, since the Bible warns that we are on war and that Satan is on full offensive against God and his people. And so we should be aware. We should not be surprised when there are false teachers out there. When and where there are teachers of truth, there will be teachers of error. So perhaps the most surprising thing about false teachers is that we continue to be surprised by them. So again, the first thing I want you to recognize and realize is that false teachers are common. The second thing is false teachers are deceptive. False teachers are deceptive. One person says, false teachers typically won't show up to your church wearing a sandwich board saying, I am a false teacher. Right? I mean, you see those Pizza Hut or other pizza place or Subway, they have a sandwich board or a board on there, or they hang it. False teachers don't have that. They don't have a sign on their forehead or in their chest that says, hey, guess what? I'm a false teacher. They don't have that. And that's something I want us to really see on what the Bible says when it comes to false teachers. One thing that about false teachers are being deceptive is that they begin within the bounds of belief. They have this fundamentals of faith. They announce themselves only slowly and through a subtly twisted doctrine. So they'll come in like, hey, I'll teach you this, but slowly they'll tell us, they'll tell you, and they'll make their message clear. And it is false. They turn away from the fundamentals one step at a time rather than all at once. The third thing I want us to see is that false teachers are dangerous. False teachers are dangerous, and part of what makes them so dangerous is that they will affirm so much that it is good and true. False teachers, they will not deny all of the doctrines upon which the Christian faith stands or falls, but only selects parts of it. And that's what makes them dangerous. When they read the Bible, when they receive the gospel, they don't take the whole thing. They'll take it apart. And they just want to teach what they want for people to hear. And the fourth thing is false teachers are divisive. False teachers are divisive. False teachers cause division within the church and often cause division even among true believers, true Christians. Because false teachers tend to remain within the church, and because they claim to be honoring the Bible, they continue to confuse true believers. And so that's what makes them divisive. It is often those who stand fast against falsehood who get labeled as divisive. But those people who stand for, who are false teachers, they're so quick to point out are those who believe in the truth, and they're the one who's divisive, but the false teachers are not. And that's something you need to be watchful for, that false teachers are divisive. False teachers give people what they want. And that's a big thing, and we'll be looking at that more in depth. In the book of Timothy, Apostle Paul wrote his final letter in 2 Timothy. He warned that the time was coming when people would not endure sound teaching. The time will come, and there are people today in the churches, in our culture. They would have itching ears. They would demand teachers who would satisfy this itch. False teachers do this very thing. Their concern is not for what people truly need, but for what people want. And we'll tackle that more in depth. The gospel does not address what we want, but what we need. And the last thing is, false teachers cannot tolerate the gospel. False teachers cannot tolerate the gospel. False teachers simply cannot tolerate the gospel. At some level, in some way, they will always add to or subtract from the pure and sweet gospel of salvation by grace alone and through faith alone in Jesus Christ. See, they may affirm the Trinity, they may affirm inerrancy and the deity of Christ, but they will never fully affirm the gospel of the Bible. that will select here and then. And so false teachers cannot tolerate the gospel. And so as we turn our attention to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, and this is the theme of the book, Apostle Peter understood the danger that false doctrine posed for his readers. If you recall, in the book of 1 Peter, he had already warned them to be aware of the devil's antics in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. What do you remember? It was our camp's topic. What? The lion is what? What was the lion doing? It's roaring, right? What was the enemy doing? The enemy is roaring like a lion, right? And so if you're not careful, and that's what Peter warns those believers, those who were suffering and being persecuted for their faith, and he warns them, the enemy is watching like a roaring lion to snatch you to when you're not ready. When you're not watching, you will fall into sin. And so here in the book of 2 Peter, Apostle Peter wrote this letter to remind believers of sound teaching. I love this. And he also to encourage diligence in the faith. And we're reminded in chapter 1 to be what? Be diligent. Always be at work. So to encourage diligence in the faith and to strengthen biblical foundations of belief and practices. And this is something that I want you to see in this book, and what Peter is saying is how important it is for us to be diligent and to really understand and see how important sound teaching is. If I was to pick 5 books and they're written by different authors, can you tell if these books are sound teaching? I'm not going to give you titles or author, but if you go to the bookstore, to the library or whatnot, and you go to a Christian section and trying to see if these books are sound. And even new books that comes out today in Amazon, are you able to really see if these books that are written are sound teaching? Chapter 2, my beloved, explores the kinds of people who forget sound doctrine, who turn away from the faith and deviate from biblical belief and practice. As such, there's sometimes gloomy but always truthful and ever-relevant section serves as a warning to us all. And so as we study these 3 verses today, it's a great warning for us because of false teachers are out there. The apostle candidly describes false teachers who traffic in religious things but lack authentic faith. I mean, these false teachers, they appear to be real and resourceful, but they are empty and deceitful. They're claiming to offer answers and hope. They bring lies and despair, right? It's kind of like when someone offers you and works in a financial industry, and it's like, hey, you know what? If you invest in this amount of money, if you invest in my service, guess what? We'll return that money. Your 10,000 will become 1 million and it become 10 million. But you know what? I want you to give me $5,000 down, right? They give you all these hopes. They give you all these things for you to be caught up with it. But next thing you know, a week or two later, you're trying to call, hey, what happened to my $5,000? Right? And the same thing in the religious sector. People, men or women, will come and tell you this and that. But if you have to base it in the scripture, you know, they're pretending to proclaim reliable information. They use the same words as believers, but use a different dictionary. And acting like those who have embraced Christian freedom, they are enslaved by corruption and seek to enslave others. So Peter presents at least 4 specific characteristics of false teachers. And so I want us to see 4 things. And the question I had earlier is, how can you spot a false teacher? How can you recognize a false teacher? So, if I was to ask you, and what would you say? What would your answer be without looking at chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3? How can you spot? In the past, were you able to spot and recognize a false teacher? Oh, pastor, that person is wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm false teacher. Right? And so, yes, exactly that person, no. Have you attended a Bible study and recognized that those things were false, were not in the, according to the Bible? Because that's where we need to be. We need to be equipped. We need to be encouraged. We need to be pointed back to the scripture and really and see this, that God has called us to defend the truth, to live out the truth. So four things I want us to see, four specific characteristics of a false teacher or false teachers. Number one, they deceitfully present heresy. They deceitfully present heresy. The second thing is they openly deny the truth. They openly deny the truth. Number three, they unashamedly model sensuality. They unashamedly model sensuality in verse 2. Verse 3, they selfishly represent greed. So four things that we will be talking about this afternoon. Number one, they deceitfully present heresy. They openly deny the truth. They unashamedly model in sensuality. They selfishly represent greed. So again, my beloved, the letter is a warning about false teachers. And the teaching, and here in this middle chapter of this three brief chapters, he described the false teachers. So what Peter wants us to know, what they look like. They don't look like Pastor Rudy or Elder Richard or Elder Danny or Pastor Nash. So Peter wants us to know what they act like. So what they look like, what they act like. Peter wants us to know what they talk like or how they talk like. He wants us to know how they function and operate. And we'll see all this in these three short verses. So the first thing I want us to see is they deceitfully present heresy. So Peter now shifts his focus to the deceptive words of false prophets. The direct conjunction in verse 2. One thing I want you to notice, how does verse 2 begin? The word but, right? So what's that mean? It's a what? It's a continuation, right? From the previous section, right? And this should not, in the original, this is actually a continuation. There should not be a break. The chapter helps us, the verse helps us, given by the people who create the Bible for us or the production. And so it kind of helps us for the English readers. But in the original, it actually is a continuation. There should not be a break in verse 21, in the previous verse of chapter 1, in verse 21. So, but false prophets also arose among the people. So the word but, again, is we'll see this, that God has spoken truth to his people in the previous section. But through false prophets, Satan has always tried to obscure or contaminate God's message. But as servants of the deceiver, Satan, false prophets spread lies and falsehood in their systematic attack of the truth. So in the Old Testament times, you'll see it says, but false prophets also arose among the people. So that refers to who? What is Peter doing? He's showing us that these false prophets are what? Are from the Old Testament time. And so let's go ahead and turn there real quick. And I want us to see in how these people, these false prophets, arose among the people of Israel. And how they were spreading their deception. And how they were spreading and causing devastation. And so in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. So if you would turn with me there. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. I want us an example. I want to show an example. And how this prophets work together. Starting on verse 6, actually, let me start there. Well, let me just start in verse 1 just to get a context. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and a sign or wonder that he tells you to come pass, and if he says, let us go after the other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you should not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And as that's continuing, and also I want you to look with me real quick in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. Starting on verse 14. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14. And the word of God says, but in the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak vision of their own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. To everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word, or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. Verse 21, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. Jeremiah 6, verse 14. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 6, says the false prophet were saying, peace, peace, but there was no peace. So they were not telling the truth. So judgment was coming, not peace. But they were saying what the people wanted to hear, and they were lying because they were messengers of Satan who wanted to keep the people in sin and lead them away from repentance. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 and 10. The book of Isaiah, chapter 30. For they are rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions, leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. That Old Testament Israel is in view here. It's evidenced by Peter's terminology. What I want to show you in how Peter talks about that these false prophets were there even during that time. And so Peter brings that out. And even in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, Jesus Christ dealt with this type of people, and he warns us, and he warns them in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And how does Christ begin this verse? Beware of what? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Beware. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their what? How do you recognize? How can you recognize false prophets, Jesus said? By their what? By their looks? By their what? By their fruits. In the second part of verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, and he reminds us this, just as there will be false teachers among you. So just as he knew false prophets had assaulted Israel, now Peter understood that there will also be false teachers among where? Among us, among the church. So as there were false prophets in the past, as they were roaming around in the time of Israel, on those people of Israel, so even in the church, and Peter says, there will be false teachers among you. Again, my beloved, the words among you indicate the origin of these teachers. They were undercover fake teachers, right? And there's that show called Undercover, what? Boss, right? They pretend to be someone else. And then those people end up getting paid at the end. That's pretty cool, right? But here is bad news. These undercover teachers, false teachers, says they're among you. Just as the false prophets arose from God's people, so the false teachers will come out from among the believers and from the church. Do you hear the warning? Do you see that these people are not coming from the outside? They're where? They're inside. They're within the church. So we have to be aware. As we have read in Matthew chapter 7, I mean, Jesus had told the disciples that false teachers would come. Very shortly, these words began to come true. False teachers infiltrated the early churches as the gospel message was spreading. You see how the enemy was working as the gospel was growing, so was the deceiver. Satan was also building up his own people and coming within the church, in the rank of the church, in the leadership of the church, pretending someone to be a light, an angel of light. So that's what we see here. So if you turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and this is the transition that we see, that there are false teachers among you, and in not long after that, these false teachers were actually there. So in Acts chapter 20, you look at this warning of Apostle Paul. I love this as he is about to depart. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29. And look at what Paul says. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in. Where? There will be among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And here's the command. And here's our response. And what Paul is telling the church as he was leaving them, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Be alert. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of what? Light, a small L, right? You look at how Satan is such a trickster, right? So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Galatians 1, verse 6 and 7. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. So it's happening. Christ had mentioned it not long after false teachers have shown. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. 2 John, verse 7 and 8, towards the end of your Bible, 2 John, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. John reminds us, my beloved, we need, just like how Paul has encouraged the believers, John encourages us as well to what? Not just to be alert, but to watch ourselves so that we may not lose what we have worked so hard for, that we may continue. False teachers arise when the church begins to embrace the worldly culture around it. As a result, congregations no longer desire to endure or to hold on to sound doctrine. See, my beloved, God-centered worship and preaching is replaced by man-centered tricks and entertainment. A biblical emphasis on sin, a biblical emphasis on repentance, holiness is replaced by an emphasis on self-esteem and felt needs. You need to be watchful for that. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. 1 through 5. And the word of God says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Verse 3 says, what does it say? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For the time is coming, Paul says. So people will look for teachers who proclaim only a pleasant, are positive ideas in accordance to their own what? Their own ideas, their own desires, because they want to have their ears tickled. Right? What does it want? What does these people want? In verse 3 says they want teachers who what? Tickle their ears. What does that mean in this section? Teachers who say things that are pleasant, say things that are very pleasing, say things that are very positive, things that are affirmative. They don't want any negatives. These people, they don't want to hear things that make them feel good about themselves, that give a pleasing feeling to their ears. They don't want any negatives. They want to hear things that make them feel good. They want to accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own lusts, according to their own desires. They want the man in the pulpit to say what they want to hear. Just like the prophets mentioned in Isaiah chapter 30. Don't tell us the truth. Tell us good things, the pleasant things. Say pleasing things to us. Feed our self-centered needs. Feed our desires. That's what they want. They want teachers that will say what they want to hear, who will please them, who will give them what they want. They're not concerned about God. They're not concerned about worship. They're not concerned about doctrine. They're not concerned about fundamentals of the faith. They're not concerned about being confronted regarding sin. They're not even concerned about truth. They're concerned about personal satisfaction. They're concerned about having their needs met. They want the teacher to feed their ego, to make them feel good about themselves. They want to be entertained. They want to have their self-esteem bolstered up. They want to be satisfied. Everything has to feed them. They don't want teachers who offend them. Careful now. They want teachers who entertain them. They want to feel good. So they select a mass of teachers. It says in verse 3 of 2 Timothy. They go out and accumulate a mass of teachers who feed their desires. And verse 4 says, they turn away their ears from the truth. We have a lot of popular preachers like that today, entertaining people, giving them messages of self-esteem and ego, building them up to make them feel good about themselves. The question is, my beloved, how about you? Do you want to be entertained? Do you want to come to church and not be told that you have sinned today? That you stand before a holy God? So the question is, how about you? Are you that type of people today as Apostle Paul says? Are you concerned about God? Are you concerned about true worship? Or do you want to come to church and be entertained just like the world does to us today? We can find entertainment anywhere else. Do you want to be entertained, church? Yes? Do you want to come here and laugh at jokes and illustrations? Or do you want to hear the truth about the holiness of God? Do you want to be confronted of how messed up we are before a holy and righteous God? Because there are some people today who call themselves Christians. They don't want to be confronted about their sin. They don't want to hear the truth. They're just concerned about their own personal satisfaction. You know, they come into church, it's like, you know, I already have all these burdens. Don't tell me how messed up I am. Right? We need the truth. So as a result, these popular teachers, they will accumulate for themselves. They will turn the minds of the people from the truth, leaving them vulnerable to Satan's deceptive influence. This is the warning, church, for us. You got to desire the truth of God. You got to be reading God's word. You got to be in prayer. You got to be in fellowship among believers who are learning and studying the word of God. The warning from scripture is clear. False teachers will arise in the church. In fact, the church is one of Satan's primary domains of operation. For that reason, the true shepherd must continually be on guard, constantly studying, proclaiming, and defending the truth. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. So, my beloved, as elders of this church, we have a responsibility to be on guard for the false teachings that's out there. And when you go out of this building, we as elders of this church, we have a responsibility. We need to be constantly studying, not just us, but you have a responsibility as well to be learning the truth. So you will not be misled by people. And the second thing is, they openly deny the truth. In the second part of that, it says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So false teachers are never honest, and they're never straightforward about their operations. After all, the church would never embrace them if their systems were unmasked. You see, my beloved, they secretly and deceptively enter the church, posing, check this out, they enter in, they have this agenda. They will pose as pastors. They will pose as teachers. They will pose as evangelists in the church. And that's what Peter was talking about, that they're among you within the church. So false teachers are not visible or noticeable. Like I said, they don't have a sign hanging on them. That is why Jude describes them as certain persons who have crept in unnoticed in Jude verse 4. They slip in without being seen, like a ninja, right? They just come in. It's like, oh, hi, how you doing? And you know, one thing that you'll see, like, oh, that person can teach. Wow, that person came from this place, so-and-so. If you're not careful, they may mislead you. And that's why in this church, my beloved, when we see someone have come as for membership of the church and we see that God has gifted them with gifts and abilities to teach, we don't throw them right in front of you right then and then. We examine their lives. We examine their ways. We examine their teaching and their doctrine. What is the purpose of that, church? Just because this person is popular and you just gotta throw them in there, you know how dangerous that is? It's kind of like, check this out, in your own home, right? Would you invite someone that you just met and enter into your home and say, you know what, go ahead and go sleep in my bed and you know what, eat all what you want in our fridge and hang out with my kids while my wife and I will go out and have a party? Would you do that to your kids? Would you leave a stranger in your home just because your friend said this person is good and he means well? Would you leave your kids for a night to this stranger? Yes or no? Right? It's the same thing for us, church, that we have a responsibility as elders of this church to protect you from what? From false teachers. That's why we don't just invite someone in this pulpit to teach you God's word. Amen? That you should find that comforting to you. That when someone tells me, Pastor, I know this pastor, he can speak, he can be a good speaker in your church. You know what I say? Well, let's go ahead and let me talk to this person. Let's invite them among our elders. We will examine this person before someone stand in this pulpit and teach God's word in front of you. I have a responsibility, church, before God, that those we invite are sound preacher and they will teach you sound teaching. Do you have that comfort to know that when you are here, you're hearing God's word? We're not preaching our own ideas. We're going through verse by verse. We're going word by word even. At times it seems boring. At times it seems so long. But it is for your own good to have the meat. We're not just giving you superficial teaching. So again, we go back to this verse. They were posing as true shepherds. There were even false teachers introduced destructive heresies, literally heresies of destruction. You see what they're doing here? Destructive. That means utter ruin. It speaks of the final and eternal condemnation of the wicked. Look at what they're bringing. In this context, the term indicates that the tricks of this man have disastrous eternal consequences. If you're not careful who you invite and the message that they bring in, it has eternal condemnation. Not just for the preacher, not just for the false teachers, even for those who hear and respond to their message, to their false message. Coming from within the churches, they work to secretly bring in. You know what that means? To smuggle. You know how when you are in the Philippines and you want to bring stuff, right? And you saw, you're like, man, I want to bring in this fruit that I like. And you know what? I'm going to put it, I'm going to smuggle it right in that box or in my luggage. I'm going to put it there so the TSA or the, who's that? Who are the people that checks? The customs would not open it and think, because I'm, you know what? I'm going to, let's say a fruit that you really like, right? And then you want to bring it in. And you're going to hide it and pretend, right? Guess what? It's going to get scanned, it's going to get opened, and you're going to get busted, right? And look at what these people are doing. They're doing what, right? They're smuggling it. I mean, look at that. And the thing that they're doing is this destructive. And what is that? They're destructive opinions. Their ideas. They're destructive. They introduce it carefully at first, bringing it alongside the gospel message as a mere aside or addition. But any deviation from the truth is no longer the truth. See, this is how you know, and you have responsibility, church, to what? To be a Berean, to be a student of God's word. Whether what I'm saying is true, you have that job. You also have a responsibility, though. Yeah, you know us from all these years. How can you tell if we're not deceiving you, right? What if when Nash is preaching here, how can you tell that he's not deceiving you with the message that he's preaching, or Elder Richard is preaching you, that it's not deceptive? Don't just rely on us because you know us for all these years. But you have a responsibility to do what? To search the scripture. So, as a result, they distorted the truth to their own ends, convincing the innocent to believe their lies. And you see there, in 2 Peter, the second part of that, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, in verse 2. Oh, wait, let me cover in verse 1, actually. It says, the master who bought them. That's important for us to tackle. It says, secular bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. So Peter explained that these heresies would deny the master. So the word master here, master as sovereign Lord, the title refers to Christ. The word deny means to contradict or reject or disavow. So these heresies could have been taken from denying Christ's second coming, or they were denying the gospel, they were denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some false teachers were belittling the significance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Some claimed that Jesus could not be God. Others claimed that he could not have been a real human being. These teachers often allowed and even encouraged all kinds of wrongs and immoral acts, and especially sexual sin. Whatever form the false doctrines took, they amounted to these teachers denying Christ who bought them. The price Christ paid was his blood, his death on the cross. They were redeemed. These teachers were redeemed. They were bought. God redeeming his people when he delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And that's what the redeeming looks like, and how Christ redeemed us from our sins. The false teachers of Peter's day claim Christ as the Redeemer, yet they refuse to accept his sovereign lordship, thus revealing their true character as they were not believers at all. They denied Christ. They denied the lordship of Jesus Christ. See, you see, my beloved, these false teachers had joined the Christian community and seemed to be part of it, but they later denounced Christ and tried to convince others to do the same. Right? They accepted the gospel first, and then they started to have a different agenda, a different message. So in their teachings by their lifestyles, the false teachers were denying the Lord who had bought them. So Peter revealed the seriousness of denying such master, for turning away from him who would bring swift destruction on oneself. You look at this at the latter part. Bringing upon them what? Destruction. For denying Christ, for not accepting his lordship, guess what happened to them? Those who reject Christ's sovereign lordship will face swift destruction if they do not repent from such rebellion. You know what that swift means? It is quick. It is imminent. And destruction refers to eternal damnation in hell. So this horrible fate coming either at that or at Christ's return awaits false teachers and all who follow their unrepentant path. You see, there's a consequences for teaching false doctrine. In verse 2, number 3, they unashamedly model sensuality in verse 2. And many will follow, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. The Bible is clear that many more people will follow the broad way that leads to destruction. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, that shows us that people will follow. You see, these false teachers, with the popularity of the wide road, they usher people on the broad way and encourage them not to look back. Very dangerous. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus declared, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." And a lot of people will say, "You know, Lord, I did this work," but they were not coming in. See, so superficial, insincere claims to be followers of Christ are meaningless. Only those who fully submit to his lordship and obey his obey will demonstrate that they truly belong to him. The word sensuality is a strong word referring to habitual sexual immorality. By using the plural form of here of a noun, what Peter is saying, he emphasized that the false teachers' sexual lewdness came in many forms and there were extremes. They intentionally refuse to place any restraints from their fleshly desires. They have these sexual escapades. So this is in Jude verse 4 again. Their corrupt behavior caused Jude to compare their sins with those of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we will see that more later on. And so that's how you distinguish. That's how you recognize false teachers. A teacher may claim to be God's spokesman, but if his life is characterized by corruption, by lust and immorality, it proves that he's actually a what? A fraud. He's fake. And number four, verse three. What can you see about this? What character can you see? Characteristic. In verse three. And in their greed, they will exploit you. So here, my beloved, real quick. Peter spared no words in his condemnation of the false teachers. He exposed their prime motivation. What is their prime motivation? Money. Greed. Only money, not truth, matter to them. See, false teachers are not ultimately motivated by a fascination with false doctrine or even fondness for sexual immorality. They actively participate in each of those activities, but people can do all such sins without being teachers. Instead, the primary motivation and motivation driving false teachers is uncontrolled love of money. So they crave as much money as possible. Even you'll read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 and 5. So to accomplish their materialistic goals, false teachers will exploit people with what? With false words. There's a lot of things you see. If I have a handkerchief, right? If I have a napkin, and I tell you that this napkin has the blood of Christ or a sweat of Christ, if you pay me, if you only deposit or charge and give me money for $100, and you will have this napkin, and it will heal your sickness, right? And I will try to convince you and convince you and convince you until you actually will what? You even watch on TV and say, you know what? And they will be flooring and walking around with all these things. And you know what? If you call right now, you'll get it the next day, and your healing will begin, and all these miracles will begin in your life if you only pay for this amount. How sad is that? They will exploit you. They will traffic in and to realize gain from. And that's what it means to exploit. So such men want to get rich from the people to whom they minister. Only they claim to serve others. They are only interested in serving themselves. I have a book that I'm going to write, so I'm going to ask you for a deposit. Okay? It will help your spiritual walk. Okay? Before the end of the day, before we end this sermon, so I want every one of you, before we collect the offering, I want you to give me $30 per book. That's actually cheap. But 30 times how many of you, even the kids, can pay and use this book, right? Don't be convinced with foolishness, things like that. Right? Be careful. Be careful not to be exploited. You work so hard and all of a sudden you're just going to give your money away because a teacher on TV or in the pulpit, and you've heard your friend, and like they come to this, and even, you know, on social media they have a lot of that, right? They secretly send you a message on your Facebook Messenger, and they tell you if you do this, if you buy this, or even if you pray this, or if you pass it on, guess what's gonna happen to you? You're gonna have a miracle tomorrow. You're gonna double your money tomorrow, right? Be careful. Lastly, you look at that. Their destruction is not asleep. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. You see, Peter personifies eternal damnation, as it were, an executioner who remains fully awake, ready to administer God's sentence of condemnation on those who falsify his word. What Peter is saying here, my beloved, that God is not asleep. He knows what is happening. And without a doubt will condemn and destroy the false teachers who blindly follow them. You see, God is watching those false teachers. There will be accountable for their actions. And even those who will be tricked by their messages. Let me close with this following applications for us. Not to downplay the threat of false teachers in Peter's day, but with the radio, with television and the internet, social media, you know, we have, even in the past, in the first century, have become a hurricane of heresy in our time. So the question is, as we close our time together, how can we avoid being swept away? How can we avoid these things from this satanic deception? Let me give you three practical tips or steps to protect you from this deception. Stop, look, and listen. Okay, what are the three steps for us to avoid? Stop, look, and listen. Stop is to refuse to plunge into a certain person's teaching because it appears harmless on the surface. You could find yourself in a deep chasm of deception. It's never enough that others have been entertained or persuaded, inspired or blessed by a charming person like myself, or a church or a ministry. But you know what? You need to stop. You need to put the brakes on long enough to compare the views being taught with the clear teaching of Holy Scripture. So you need to stop. You need to slow down. Just because someone is popular, just because that person has a million books that's been sold on Amazon or online and it's been recommended by your friend, stop. Consider that along with the Scripture. Before you start listening and looking at that, don't be afraid to turn and run if things don't feel right within your spirit. You get invited to such and such event and it's religious work, be careful. If you know that it's not right, run. Second thing, look. Observe the life of the main spokesperson for any particular ministry or movement. The question is, do they model Christ-like values and virtues? Do they point to Christ or to themselves? Do you see accountability and transparency? Do they exhibit true humility, love? Do they submit themselves to the authority of the Word of God? What do their followers look like? Never be swayed by somebody's apparent sincerity, intelligence, or charisma. So you need to stop, look, and listen. Pay close attention to the words a teacher uses. Listen not only to what they say, but how they say it. Also note what's not being said. Don't fall into the trap of judging something to be true because it makes you feel good. Often the truth will feel like a slap in the face or a punch in the stomach. Real truth almost brings conviction and obligation to what? To change. But lies are often crafted to provide false security, freedom to sin, and emotional excitement. Listen carefully. Think critically. We all need to be more aware of the false teachings are prevalent in our world. We need to identify errors. We need to identify motives. We need to identify dangers. Why don't you begin to sharpen your discernment by keeping your eyes open over the next few weeks? And just really look at that. And as you read God's word, look for any falsehood, what's out there. I'm not here in this message and in this chapter to name names of false teachers out there. But if you have a question, that you want to read a book or go to this person, and because your friend says that this person is good. But if you have a question, please come and see us. I'm not here to name names of the false teachers in this message. So So let me close with this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, as the passage we read earlier. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and here's our responsibility, church. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Believers, church, what is our responsibility? We need to be what? We need to be vigilant. We need to be discerning. We need to take heart this admonition that Paul has given to the church in Ephesus. Right? We all need to. As Paul gives this message to them, says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. And he gives this message to the preacher, to the pastors, to the elders of the church. Pay attention. Watch, be alert, be careful. You have a responsibility, church. I have a responsibility, the elders have a responsibility to this church to preach the truth of God. Not our own ideas, not our own motives, not our own opinions, but the truth of God. I want you to know that is our goal in this church. And I thank you that you are persevering to hear the truth of God. That you are taking notes and you are being active, that you are being proactive to know that you, what you're hearing, what you're being fed, it is the word of God. Be confident in that, church. And that's what we're here for, to grow together until God calls us home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would continue to do a work in our hearts. And Lord, help us by your Spirit to recognize, to evaluate, to see, to spot if we are being misled by a false teacher. Lord, I pray that as Apostle Paul have encouraged his believers in Ephesus, he says to them to pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Oh God, as elders of this church, we have a responsibility, Lord, that you have called us to be an overseer of this flock, your precious flock, Lord, that you have bought and redeemed with your blood. Lord, help us that we will not mislead anyone, any one single soul in this church. Oh God, may we be reminded of a great responsibility that we have before you as we stand before you. That we are responsible for their souls, not for their money, not for their material beings, not for their health, but we are responsible for their souls. Oh God, what a heavy burden that you have given to us, that you have called us, that one day, Lord, we will be accountable for the souls that have come to this church. Oh, Father, may you find us faithful. May we as believers not be easily deceived by the work of the enemy. So we thank you. Do a work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's remain in an attitude of prayer as we pray for our offering.